Welcome to Inside Games, the only game news show brave enough to cheer on a billion-dollar corporation slap fight over Call of Duty.
Damn right. This is the fun stuff. At least the corporations aren't, you know, violating human rights for a change. It's just an innocent case of one corporation spending almost $70 billion to acquire one of gaming's biggest publishers and one of their direct competitors getting real sassy about it.
We know that the exclusivity status of Call of Duty is a huge sticking point in Microsoft's pending acquisition of Activision Blizzard, especially if you're Sony, Microsoft's chief rival in the console wars. They've insisted that Call of Duty is far too large a brand to belong to a single platform holder like Microsoft.
And meanwhile, Microsoft is on a PR tour right now, simultaneously messaging that the acquisition is actually about mobile games like Candy Crush, and that Microsoft is more than willing to work with Sony to keep Call of Duty on other platforms.
And just to prove it, they've revealed that this week they put out a 10-year Call of Duty deal in front of Sony.
10 years! A decade of the duty! That's the dootcade! You know, the whole duty doot! Will this put the issue to rest? Finally? Unlikely! But explaining why is a bit of a challenge, because there's a lot of history at this point, and it kind of involves multiple global regulatory agencies.
Oh, that's exciting. but that is what we're here for. So we're going to cover the latest back and forth between Microsoft and Sony and fill in the historical context of what it all means. After we cover all the info, we'll extrapolate from there to figure out why this deal is so contentious and predict how it actually might turn out.
Yeah, basically, Sony's really pressing their advantage at the moment, but they're playing a dangerous game. They push too hard. They could lose all the advantages they've got.
No!
With drama of that intensity, we have to call in our resident staff dramaticist, Yami. What's the buzz, Yami?
The subreddits are electric, Bruce. with the Activision acquisition, which should be called Activision, still going through regulatory hurdles, the question on every gamer's lips is, will Microsoft make Call of Duty exclusive? It's obviously still up in the air. Otherwise, this video would be way shorter. To get a better idea of Call of Duty's status, here's a quick rundown of the Call of Duty back and forth since Microsoft announced the acquisition in January. Shortly after the acquisition was announced in January, Bloomberg reported that the next three Call of Duty games would be multi-platform, since publishing agreements for those games had been signed before Microsoft's acquisition. Then, in September, Sony revealed that Microsoft offered for Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation for 3 years after the current deal expires. PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan ripped that offer publicly, calling it inadequate on many levels.
That in itself is pretty uncharacteristic. Sony doesn't often, if ever, comment on their business dealings with other companies publicly, right?
Nah, they're usually more discreet about those negotiations, especially when it comes to throwing shade, however slight. Since then, Sony executives have argued that if Call of Duty became an Xbox exclusive, it would directly impact PlayStation sales. Microsoft has said that won't happen. Sony seems unconvinced, though, and has made moves to try and stop the merger with Activision Blizzard. The New York Times reports that they've hired a consulting firm to set up meetings with US government officials. They've also argued in filings to regulators in Brazil that Call of Duty is such a powerful franchise that Microsoft could use it to hurt its rivals. And Jim Ryan, the head of Sony Interactive Entertainment, made it clear that he doesn't see Microsoft as friendly competition, calling them a tech giant with a long history of dominating industries. He added that it is highly likely that the choices gamers have today will disappear if this deal goes ahead.
Oh, no.
My choices.
Oh, no. Sound the alarms.
Meanwhile, Microsoft is repeatedly insisting they have every intention of shipping Call of Duty on PlayStation consoles.
Yeah, they keep saying that. The New York Times quoted Xbox boss or ex-boss Phil Spencer as saying, "The first call Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella and I made after the deal was announced was to the CEO of Sony to say, hey, we're going to keep Call of Duty on your platform."
Wow, what nice guys. last month, Spencer said that Microsoft intends to ship Call of Duty to PlayStation, quote, "as long as there is a PlayStation out there to ship to." He compared the franchise to Minecraft, which has long been a multi-platform game, even though it's owned by Microsoft.
And according to a New York Times report, Microsoft recently offered Sony a 10-year deal to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Sony declined to comment on the offer, so technically, we don't know if they accepted it. Really, though, we can probably assume it wasn't accepted if Microsoft is telling the press about it instead of signing it.
So on one hand, Microsoft keeps publicly saying that Call of Duty will be on the PlayStation indefinitely. But in private, they seem to be offering Sony contracts to keep it on the console with a definite end date. and apparently in terms that Sony considers inadequate.
Yeah, so our initial assumption here, the reason that Sony keeps turning this down or they can't reach a deal, is that the terms of the agreement are just so bad that Sony can't say yes, or they're holding out, hoping that public opinion will shift and force Microsoft to offer them better terms. And, I mean, it seems to have already worked, from what Microsoft has told the press anyway. Sony revealed that initial offer of 3 years in September, only to have Microsoft up that to a decade as of last week.
Microsoft is putting in that PR work, though. Spencer is on a whistle-stop tour right now, promising everyone how much Microsoft loves publishing Call of Duty on PlayStation, and media outlets are happily running with that narrative. Meanwhile, PlayStation's played it much closer to the vest. You'd think they'd do a little more stumping if they wanted to work people up and sweat a better deal out of Microsoft.
Whatever Sony's PR strategy is, there's a larger picture that means Sony doesn't need to agree to a deal now, regardless of how good or bad the terms are. Sony's potentially playing some 5D ray-traced chess here. Big old five-head whatever. And we'll break it all down right after a word from our sponsor, World of Warships. Inside Games is brought to you by World of Warships. World of Warships is the perfect balance of action and strategic gameplay. In World of Warships, there are multiple ship classes to choose from. Conquer the oceans aboard history's most iconic battleships, destroyers, aircraft carriers, or cruisers. And if the depths call to you, you can even dive in with a new class of submarines. World of Warships releases new content every single month, whether it be new ships, in-game nations, cosmetics, or even ship classes. You can always count on enjoying fresh gameplay experiences in World of Warships, stunning 12v12 arenas. And it's got top-notch new graphics. There's more than 40 unique maps with dynamic weather. They've all been updated with stunning new water effects and textures. World of Warships has over 500 ships across 10 different nations. You play as a lone wolf or in a division with your friends, and the game is available on consoles as well as PC. So if you want to join the millions of players that are playing World of Warships right now, click the link in our description to play for free on PC. Thank you again, World of Warships, for sponsoring Inside Games.
Thank you, World of Warships. And like we said before the break, there is a larger issue here that could be playing into Sony's negotiation strategies. The timing of all this is a bit spicy for geopolitical reasons, and when we got global levels of drama, we got to hear from Yami. So catch us up, Mrs. Worldwide.
It's Miss Worldwide. I'm not married.
I don't know why I wrote it that way.
Let's talk about that instead, Lawrence.
I don't know.
All of this is happening as some major regulators around the world are increasingly skeptical about the Activision Blizzard deal. A total of 16 governments worldwide have to sign off on the acquisition, and at this point, the vast majority haven't. Only two, Saudi Arabia and Brazil, have approved it. Microsoft said it expects Serbia to approve the deal soon, but it could hit a giant roadblock in three major markets: the United States, the European Union, and Britain. So far, all three appear skeptical of the merger. Keep in mind, this is coming at a time when there's a lot of concern worldwide that tech giants have gotten too large. In September, the UK's Competition and Markets Authority signaled that they'd take a closer look at the Activision Blizzard deal. And just a few weeks ago, the European Commission opened what it called an in-depth investigation into the acquisition.
Well, surely the United States will approve it, right? We love big companies that bleed us dry. I feel like that's part of the United States at this point.
Oh yeah, we love money. Stands to reason, doesn't it? But the U.S. Federal Trade Commission is led by Lina Khan, who is a critic of Amazon, specifically on the premise that it shouldn't be exempt from antitrust simply because it's currently resulting in lower prices for customers. That philosophy could easily extend to Microsoft's aggressive acquisitions to drive up Game Pass's value. We also know that more than 10 staffers at the FTC are reviewing the deal. They've already interviewed executives at Microsoft, including CEO Satya Nadella and Microsoft President Brad Smith. There's also a sign that the FTC might legally challenge the acquisition. The New York Times quoted two sources who said the FTC recently asked other companies about offering sworn statements to lay out their concerns about the merger.
All this is pretty bad news for Microsoft. And at the very least, it means the acquisition could take a lot longer than they originally thought. The deal is currently expected to close in the middle of next year, but with all these investigations kicking up, who's to say?
Latest update, there was the totally normal open letter from Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick on November 8th, where he wanted all AKB employees to know that everything is completely fine, and the acquisition is still expected to close by June 2023 as he ran out the door.
Another day where I feel like reminding everyone that absolutely nothing has changed. Yeah. We have Activision Blizzard over there insisting everything's totally chill, while multiple worldwide agencies aren't exactly just waving the deal through. And in this moment of elevated scrutiny, we have Sony insisting they can't possibly compete in a market where Microsoft owns Call of Duty.
Boo-hoo. In that context, it seems less like Sony is getting bad terms from Microsoft and more like Sony only stands to gain by sweating this situation out. So that's what they're doing. Getting better terms is only one of many motivating factors, meaning Sony benefits by not signing any deals.
Yeah, based on the political situation right now, Forbes' Paul Tassi points out that accepting any deal at all would compromise Sony's stance that Call of Duty is too big to be owned by a platform holder. They can't very well negotiate and accept a deal for the game while simultaneously insisting they can't successfully do business in any kind of market that way.
So for Sony to accept any deal, no matter how gracious the terms, would be publicly waving through the exact acquisition they want to stop.
And to build on that, we know Sony has an existing publishing contract with Activision for Call of Duty. That means a guaranteed amount of time on the clock, 3 years to be exact. Although at this point, it's more like two.
Yeah, that was kind of early this year, and that probably included this one as one of the three Call of Duties. So now dev teams obviously need some amount of like lead time to know what platforms they're shipping on. So it's not like Sony can wait right up until December 31st in 2025 to decide what terms they're willing to take to ship Call of Duty. But they do have some baked-in padding to work with, maybe another year or so.
And so Sony loses nothing by saying no, for now at least. Meanwhile, Microsoft keeps burning time and energy on generating positive PR, hopefully offering increasingly pleasant deals to make their acquisition seem less menacing to regulatory agencies.
It all makes sense, but it could go sideways at any point in time.
It could. For starters, the longer this goes on, the more petty Sony looks. That's obviously Microsoft's intent in slipping such curated news bits to the media. But stuff like that creates narratives that can influence policy and judgment. Microsoft is dominating headlines with their repeated attempts to play nice. It'll only move the needle towards folks approving the acquisition, which leads to an even worse outcome for Sony. Because if the acquisition gets fully approved, suddenly Sony loses any leverage they have.
That's the turning point, really. Sony can only drag their heels as long as the acquisition is in question and they can talk against it. If, or once, the acquisition is fully approved, then Microsoft doesn't even really have to play nice for the cameras anymore. So Sony's got to press for the best deal they think they can get while the getting is good. But if they press too far and wait too long, they may find those friendly terms have just disappeared from the negotiating table.
Unless regulatory agencies actually reject the entire acquisition wholesale. In which case, any preliminary agreement they come to would just be nullified anyway.
Yeah, so we expect Sony will continue to play hard to get for the near future, as long as there's even a shot that the acquisition will be rejected by any worldwide regulatory agency. And if the acquisition deal goes through, they'll probably find a way to do business before long, possibly regretting the sweetheart deal they didn't take while the window was still open.
All right, so the question is to all of you, with all of this in mind, do you think Call of Duty will actually go Microsoft exclusive someday?
Yes. Yes, it will.
Oh, wow.
I think that they're not going to pay all that money to not have it be exclusive. I would go as so far as to say it's going to be a Game Pass exclusive. In fact, because that's a great hardball move that they would do in order to get a bunch of little subscriptions to Game Pass. And no way would they spend all this money to just have it be in competitors' hands.
I could really go either way. I think they would, which is not what I would say about any other company at any other point in time ever. But the rate that Microsoft's been willing to throw money at Game Pass, this is an unprecedented amount of money, but even still, there has yet to be any kind of depth to the amount of money Microsoft's willing to pay to get exclusives on Game Pass or to drive up Game Pass's value. That said, though, I think Sony is... they're not above playing ball when there's money to be made. I'm kind of reminded of their Fortnite deal. They finally negotiated their walled garden. And they did it in a way that it seemed unnecessarily complicated, but it was just protecting their bottom line. So it seemed like a pretty fair deal. So it was pretty shrewd, and they found a way to make it work for the sake of earning money. So I guess I'm kind of curious at this point to see if Sony will start to leverage their fan base to try to squeeze a better deal. They almost did that a little bit by going public the one time, and they haven't really done it since. So I'm reminded of what Tim Sweeney did in the Epic versus Apple suit. He kept trying to make it like, oh, this is for the freedom of the players and to liberate the online marketplaces. No one cared. So I think I would love, for my own observing from the box seat on the rafters and screaming at the games industry about things I don't necessarily care about. I want to see Sony get to that level of petty where they try to use their fan base to extort a good deal out of Microsoft. But yeah, I think if they stand to make money, and they will, they'll find a way to accept terms that they don't find generous.
I still trust Phil Spencer here, and I really do believe he is saying, hey, it's like what we did with Minecraft. I just wish I knew what the Minecraft cuts were on the different platforms, because then I could probably tell you that's what they're aiming for with Sony when they get their cut from Call of Duty. Although that Minecraft acquisition was only $2.5 billion. This Call of Duty was $70 billion. And it's crazy how much different the acquisition is. So I think Microsoft does want to put it on PlayStation. I think they do. They just want their money. So I'm imagining that that's going to happen. I wish I could see the cuts that they were getting for Minecraft, and they're going to go for that cut for Call of Duty, maybe a little higher.
The other thing too, which I think is a bit odd about Spencer citing the Minecraft thing, is that that was very, very, very early in his tenure as like leader of Xbox. And I'm not even convinced that he had oversight on that deal.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, that was made in a different era of Xbox, and that was made when they didn't have the appetite and the ability, like the bottomless purse that they have now. So I don't know. Those comparisons are obviously made to invite a kind view of Microsoft's acquisition.
Oh, obviously. But, of course,
yeah. They didn't have Game Pass at the time. I really do think that they want Game Pass to be the future. And it should be.
Wow, man. I'd be really surprised if Yami was right, if they went straight exclusive and it was only Game Pass.
That's what I would do. I would do that shit with Elder Scrolls. I would do that shit with Starfield.
Doing it with Starfield.
I would 100% be like, oh, you want to play this? Subscribe.
Damn.
That makes perfect sense. And it's so much money. That's so much. There's no way they're going to be cool with being like, yeah, no, it's not an exclusive.
These patrons have earned our exclusivity. Jonathan Lanowski, Brown Sugar, Regulus, Aaron Fraze, and Spirit Bear.
And let me tell you, Bruce, I've got some patrons that negotiate a hell of a contract. Got Jared Watkins, Maurice Thompson, Docs360, UESC Battleroid, and J Embers 87.